The engine star from the Cats has joined us here in the commentary box, Mitch Duncan. Mitch, thanks very much for your time. A little bit of a probably disappointing day for yourself in a way. You obviously love to see one of your great teammates in Corey Enright playing 300 games, but I'm sure you wish you were out there.
Yeah, I definitely would love to be out there today. Beautiful day down in Geelong, and a special moment for the club and for Corey.
Tell us about the player and the person, Corey Enright. I mean, fortunate enough to play against the guy and hated playing against the guy because he was such a good player and caused other teams and our team so much trouble. But from the inside, tell us a bit about him.
Yeah, he's very respectful. That's what I've just spoke about before. I thought about it all morning. Very respectful and earns a lot of respect from the whole AFL community and from the Geelong Footy Club. When he speaks, people listen. He's just a great role model for a lot of kids coming through, you know, from Auskick to myself to the older group as well.
Mitch, in reading a little bit about him this week, I've taken away that he's a man of action rather than words. Is that a fair assessment of him?
Yeah, definitely. But when he speaks, you listen really intently.
Does he talk much about his upbringing or his childhood footy or his junior footy? Because coming from Kimber in the middle of nowhere, you'd have some fantastic stories, right? Some fascinating stories.
I haven't heard too much about him. I know that he probably wants a statue back in Kimber.
He should get one.
But he's a remarkable player. And you don't hear too much about his upbringing. It's all about now, and he continues to learn and wants to get better and drag us to another premiership.
Can I ask about? I think the Cats do it as well as anyone when they have milestone games or marquee games where they say, okay, we've got to be on today. And the senior players run the show, players like Stevie J, Joel Selwood, they really want to make their stamp and ensure a great day. And they try and do it in the first 20 minutes of footy generally and enjoy the last three quarters. Has there been a focus made this week of, listen, we've just got to get the job done, we've got to be able to celebrate this the right way?
Oh, it's definitely been spoken about in, obviously Corey's been in the media a fair bit. It definitely will get spoken about before the game, so we'll probably bring him in the huddle just before the centre bounce and give him a real rev up, saying, you know, he's an important part of the club. He's grown this club from the last 16 years. It definitely will get spoken about. And I think the young kids as well, as well as the older blokes, will really want to win for Corey, and we'll be standing up blokes like Josh Caddy, who I can tell he'll really want to set the tone.
Tell us about some of those young guys that have joined the core group that have seemed like they've been there for forever. Gregson doing some really good things. I'm a big fan of Buse across that half-back line. Tell us a bit more about some of these young guys. They seem to be fitting in really well, and they've added a different dimension to your team.
They have, and it's great because that bit of youth really sparks the older blokes, gets the enthusiasm back, and for myself as well. Corey Gregson, Nikai Cockatoo, we've seen what he can do. Jed Buse,
Thurlow
off the half-back line, his ball use is unbelievable. There's another bloke named Dean Gore, he hasn't had the opportunity yet. He's had a few shoulder problems or nerve problems in his shoulder, which I think he's going to be a 200-game player for the footy club as well.
Mitch, how does that evolve? Because we see other clubs do it and we're unsure of their direction. Do these players emerge at training and earn their opportunity? Is it their VFL form? Or do the coaches basically identify that the next team that's going to be great is going to include X, Y, and Z, and we're just putting them out there?
I don't think we jeopardise a short-term goal over the long-term goal as much as what people say. We still want to win every week, but we do have that look, in 5 years' time, where the club's going to be at. They do train. We train really intently, if they stand out, that means they can probably handle match day pressure. Obviously, it's a little bit more, but Stephen Wells does a wonderful job with his recruiting staff, and we do have a really good academy, group that look after those younger guys coming through, and we're lucky enough to play in the VFL with our own side, and I think that helps a lot too.
Can I ask about the fluctuations in Geelong's ability to win contested footy? Not only in-game, but game-to-game. The peaks and troughs are enormous. Yep. And what is that done by design? Are you still trying to be a turnover-based team where you may be looking for the pure clearance or the really ballistic clearance rather than the volume? It's more about quality. Why are there such peaks and troughs?
Yeah, I don't know. Look, a lot of people are talking about ground balls now as well, because some contested balls lead from, it could be contested mark's ball and then they're the first person at the contest, and that's a contested ball.
Yep.
So our spread, it can lead to our spread. us winning the ball in tight is not a problem at all. It's probably that time when we have to spread, and giving away free kicks is obviously detrimental to contested ball as well.
What about your rucking department at the moment? I think it was a real shame with Reece Stanley going down with what seems to be a significant ankle injury. Last week in Port Adelaide, the dual work from the two of them made up for the fact that neither of the guys are monsters.
Yep.
And they not necessarily can compete with the, watch Aaron Sanderlands or Todd Goldstein's and these really big guys. A real shame. Does that have an effect on your ability at the clearance that, the two men worked well last week, but when they have to go one-on-one, they're going to find it really hard.
Yeah, they definitely will. And I think Blitzer's won out today with Josh Walker might do a bit of pinch hitting as well. So, yeah, I think it might hurt the ability for Blitz to maybe spend a bit more time in the midfield. But, Reece was doing a remarkable job, especially against Port Adelaide. It's probably his best game of his AFL career nearly. And, it is a bit disappointing for Reece, but, I'm sure he'll get back out there and be doing it again.
Talking about injuries yourself, been out for a while. How's your injury tracking along, Mitch?
Yeah, it's come along well. Obviously, a slow process when it comes to feet. Yeah. I'll probably take the cautious road. I really want to try and get back for Joel Selwood's 200th game, which is GWS, which is in about 6 weeks. So
it'd be about an 11-week injury
12 weeks.
For those that not up to scratch with your foot, exact problem that you faced?
Yeah, snap my fifth metatarsal.
That's right.
Which is like your pinky toe, but up the foot a little bit. So I've got a rod put in there, and it's feeling all right. I'll probably have a run on tomorrow out on the oval. So,
first run?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Menzel and Vardy, how are they tracking along?
Yeah, I've been doing a fair bit of weights with Vardy. He's strong at the moment, that's for sure. He's pushing me around. I don't think he's too far away. I'd probably, without really knowing, I'd say around a month. And Men's, he's been doing full training, so it must be really close.
And there's a job up at Carlton. There's a job up for grabs at Carlton, so there's at least one senior coaching gig around at the moment. If you had to push forward one of the assistants' names, who would it be?
I love the work of... I work closely with Nigel Lappin and Matty Knights, so I would have to put one of them two up.
I only asked for one. I didn't
smart.
Two.
Smart.
Tell us about Nigel, because I think Nigel's got ambitions to do it sooner rather than later.
Oh, he's very... his attention to detail is second to none, so nothing gets past him. He's not afraid to give you a spray, which every coach can do.
They're all pretty good at it for some reason, aren't they?
Yeah, so I just think he's attention to detail to the game, and he knows a lot about it.
Back to the team as a whole. We're at the moment, probably looking at just pure results. When you face the real top of the tree, Fremantle, Hawthorn and Sydney, there's been a little bit of a gap. From here to the end of the season, where can you bridge that gap? So all going well, Geelong get into that final eight, which you're fighting for with another... There's probably about eight teams all in that one sort of group at the moment. What can your team do to bridge that gap so you can be competitive with the teams that are really hot at the moment in the AFL?
Yeah, it's a really good question. We did get blown out of the water early in the season. We have tweaked a few little things, which I'd be happy to come up against them now and be really confident that we could stick it with them. And internally, if we are confident that if we can turn up to the game and implement our structures the way we know we can, we're going to compete really... Really
well. Do you think you're getting the most out of the two big guys in Clark and also Hawkins? I know there's been a bit of injury and players out, but it just doesn't quite seem that it's actually clicked as yet with those two big fellas down forward and with the way the ball's being moved to them.
Yeah, definitely. And it would have been hard for Clarkie coming into a new club. His challenge was to really get fit as he had that 12-month period off where he put on probably 10, 12 kilos. So... yeah, just that we need them to start training together a bit more. Obviously, had a few injuries. Hawk with some personal reasons. So, yeah, if they can string a month together of training together and really gelling together, I think it'll make a real statement when they come out and play together.
Mitch, you mentioned structure. I reckon 15 years ago, it was all about personnel. You had the better players out there, you won more often than not.
Yep.
Changed considerably. Can you give us an insight into... the balance of personnel v the structure that you play with and how you go about it, but in what you come up against and what breakdown determines the success you have on the day?
Yeah, I think a lot of teams are going defence first.
Yeah.
They set up a whole team defence. I think that's the word that everyone's using. You look at guys like the Eagles where they've had some really cruel injuries this year, and they're just setting up real good team defence, putting pressure on the ball. That's what a lot of clubs are going back to, putting pressure on the ball and not allowing those guys to, you know, spot up the forwards, and they're just taking best position. So that's probably, you know, more your structure and your systems rather than your personnel. They're still going to be the odd tagger, although Adelaide and Fremantle went head-to-head with Dangerfield and Fife, and that was unbelievable. So I'd love to see more.
You'd be happy with the death of the tagger, wouldn't you? Because they're starting, as you get better and better, they're starting to look at you more and more.
Well, there it is. Mitch, great to have you in the 11-16 SEN commentary box. A shame you're not out there today. All the best with your foot injury. We hope to see you back on the ground very soon.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Great stuff.